Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Man, it is good to see you all today. I want to just say it for the third time. If you're a young adult, I encourage you, go hang out Tuesday night. Come on. We got some rowdy young adults over here. Diego and Cassidy are pastors of that area. They're pastoring not just a program. I believe they're pastoring a move of God in this generation. I believe that God has brought them here, set them here to see the kingdom come in an incredible way in that generation. I encourage, if you know somebody, invite them if they're a young adult. I, along with Dana, am 47, so I will not be there. But you should come. Man, I am so glad to be here. Are you? Okay, I'm pumped today. I had a moment where I realized the Lord spoke to me that I've been caring too much about what you think, and I need to stop that. So I don't care. I mean, I care, but you know what I mean, in a healthy way. And so I just feel like I got a word I want to share with you today. And I want to talk about new life. I want to talk about resurrection life. I want to talk about the new creation that is here and that life that we get to live. We celebrated resurrection a couple weeks ago. And I got to tell you, we get to celebrate it today. We get to celebrate it tomorrow. We get to celebrate it the next day. I mean, every day is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because on the cross, Jesus did what we could not do. He paid a price that we could never, ever pay with his life, and he paid it in full. It was a full payment. It wasn't a partial payment. What he did through his death, what he did through his resurrection, is he provided a release from punishment and captivity. He paid for us to be free in every way. He paid a price that when we walk into this place, we could literally worship wholehearted, regardless of what is going on in our day. Regardless of what's happened this week, that we could come in here and we could celebrate the presence and the greatness of our God. This is the price that he paid. In other words, because of what he has done, we don't get what we deserve. I mean, that alone will get you out of bed in the morning. Our sins, our failures, our inadequacies, our human guilt, our shame, it was all transferred to the cross, and somehow it was dealt with there. It was dealt with. He dealt with it all right there. So when Jesus rose from the tomb on that first day of the week, you guys, he dealt the death blow to the powers of darkness that stood in the way of God's new creation coming forth. I'll tell you, I know that there's a seriousness to our gathering, but I think we should have more celebration and more rejoicing. I just do. I mean, when we get the realities of this, we rejoice in the Lord because of what he has done. And he dealt that death blow to all that was holding back the new creation coming forth. He defeated it, and because of it, for anyone who is in him, for anyone who is in Christ, anyone that's been born again, the old is over. And the new has begun. And this is the good news. We talked about this on Easter, that when Mary found the tomb empty, it was the first day of the week. And that was very significant, that it was the first day of the week. It was the first day, not only of the week, it was the first day of the new creation breaking in. It was the first day of new creation springing forth in and through Jesus Christ. And though we see all kinds of pain and brokenness all around us every day, though we face difficulties, though we face pressures, though we face trials, how many know life can be challenging? Amen. Right? How many know life can be just tough? It can just give you a few blows that make you want to just take a nap for like 3 days straight. How many have ever had that before, right? We don't pretend that it's not there. I'll tell you this. I heard somebody say, any teaching that forces you to pretend isn't good teaching. I have no desire in us pretending about things. But what I do have a heart for and a passion for is that we recognize that in the midst of whatever we're facing, that God's new creation is breaking forth in us and through us until he returns. here and now. And it's been said this, that the cross was the wood between the old and the new. That the cross was the wood between the old and the new. And church, I want to tell you today, the new has come. And what this means is that although we cannot wait for the day that Jesus returns and we will be with him forever, he is very much here with us now. He is very much here, and he is very much at work here and now in us and through us. Colossians, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in several passages today, but Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, Paul writes this. He says, it's so powerful. He says, for in him, he's talking about Jesus, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. I mean, we could sit on that one probably all morning and all day tomorrow. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. You want to see who God is? Look at Jesus. He is the exact representation of the Father, and not just a little bit of God. We don't just see a little bit of God. We see right here, as Paul says, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him. And through him, to reconcile to himself, get this, all things. Everybody say all things. All things, whether on the earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Here is the vision that we need to have today as people of God, that God is reconciling all things. That God is making all things new. He is reconciling men, he is reconciling women, but he is reconciling all things. He's reconciling things above, things below, things that are seen, things that are not seen, rulers and powers. He is reconciling all things. Church, I don't want you to believe for a second that Jesus is going to give the earth to his enemies. Jesus is not giving the earth to his enemies. We should never wake up any day thinking Jesus is losing. Jesus is not turning the world over to the devil. Jesus is reconciling all things. All things. All things. He's redeeming all things, even nature itself. And it's really important that we don't have a view of new creation coming only being about me and my life alone, or you in your life alone, but that we join him in the larger vision of what God's new creation coming fully means. And it's very much personal, but it's also very much global, and we could say cosmic, what he is doing. We could say it like this: the new creation is about you, but it's also about something much bigger than you, bigger than me. The Bible is telling a larger story than just how your day is going. I like this crowd over here. They're rowdy. You're my friends. Oh, you are too. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. I don't call anybody a servant. Maybe my dog. He will serve me. He doesn't listen to me either. But here's the thing. A big part of eschatology, big part of us getting this is our eschatology. Big part of this is understanding eschatology. So I'm not teaching on Revelation today, but I think we're going to get close to hit some of that stuff. Because I think we have to understand this in order to understand today. And I say this often, we are not trying to escape the planet. Okay? There's been a lot of theology that is about that. And I'm going to continue to repeatedly say this, because even though you may not think that, there is a subtle view of this in Christianity. And what it does is it robs us of our purpose and our mission right here. I say this so regularly. If we're trying to escape Earth, we're missing it. If we're just waiting and we're expecting everything to get worse and worse, or we have this mindset of we're just kind of holding on, right? Like we're just hunkering down until we finally get rocketed out of here. We're going to miss being a part of what he's doing here and now. We're going to miss our primary mission. We're going to miss what he has put in our hands and put in our influence and put in today and put in tomorrow. We're going to miss joining him and bringing heaven to earth until he returns and finally makes all things new. You think about this. Why would anybody waste time seeking solutions for the world's problems or even making a difference if there's not supposed to be a future here? Think about this. I love theologian N.T. Wright. He says, Jesus is coming. Plant a tree. Right? Jesus is coming. Plant a tree. He's coming here. And God's future is invading the present. So this is what I say to you today. Regardless of what you're facing, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. He's breaking in. Don't lose heart. He's on the move. Don't lose hope. He's making all things new, and he is reconciling all things. I'm getting intense. I'm pounding the pulpit now. Pounding it. Gosh, I want to talk this morning about living in the new. Today is foundational. You're going to hear some things that you're like, wow, this is so basic, but I also believe it's transformational, whether you've been in church for a week or you've been in church for your whole entire life. The goal of the gospel is transformation. It's a brand new life. Every human was born into Adam. You were born into sin. You were born into death. And Jesus comes and he says, you must be born again. He says this to a guy named Nicodemus in John 3. He says, if you aren't born again, he says, you can't see the kingdom of God. Being born again isn't only getting our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is absolutely central, okay? Don't misunderstand me. It is the most amazing thing, but being born again is so that we can see the kingdom. So we can see the kingdom. The difference between a person who's born again and who is not is that a person who's born again sees the kingdom. When you're around somebody who isn't born again, who doesn't know the Lord, they can't see the kingdom. They can't see the kingdom of God. They can't see what you see because their eyes have not been opened. But the person who's born again sees the kingdom because they can see the king. Their eyes are open to the realities of Jesus. If you're a born-again believer, I want to tell you today, you have been given the capability to see. You can see. You were blind, but now you see. So every time you think you can't see, it's not true. You can see. Because this is the gospel. You can see what he's doing. You can see truth. If you will listen, you can see it. You'll see the new way of life. You have access to what he sees. And that new life is a life that isn't lived for me anymore. Okay, here we go. That new life is a life that isn't lived for self. It's a life lived for him. Where I don't look and I don't live like I did before. Where I don't talk and I don't walk like I did. There are things I used to say that I don't say anymore. There are places I went that I don't go anymore. There are conversations that I used to have that I don't have anymore. There are things that I looked at that I don't look at anymore. Why? Because I'm new. I'm a new creation. And it's progressive. It's increasing. Just like the kingdom is, where I actually don't look and I don't live like I did a year ago, even though I've known him for most of my life. That because he's in me, I become more and more like him. Why? Because it's no longer I who live, it is Christ Jesus who lives in me. Church, this is not just a Sunday school Bible verse. It's no longer I who lives. Think about that reality. It's him who lives in me. And because he's in me, everything changes and everything's new. And because he's in me, I'm becoming more and more and more and more like him. It's called transformation. And it's the fruit of the new creation life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be in a few passages today because I want us just to hear what I believe is on the heart of the Lord for this day. We're going to start verse 15, and it says this. Paul is writing the Corinthians here, and he said in verse 15, 2 Corinthians 5, he says, "And he died for all." Everybody say all. "He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one." Everybody say no one. "No one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." In other words, there was a time when we could not see. We were stuck with a fleshly lens. We operated in the world according to the world. We couldn't see people rightly. We couldn't see Jesus, but that's no longer so. That's what he's saying here. Since I'm not living for me from now on, I no longer see people according to the flesh. See, if I'm living for me, I'm going to see people according to the flesh. But if I'm not living for me anymore, all of a sudden, I'm not seeing them according to the flesh. I'm seeing them according to how Jesus sees them. But if I'm living for, get this, this is so simple, but it's such a revelation. You think about all the conflicts and all the things with people. When I'm living for me, I want what I want. But when I'm not living for me, then I interact with my wife entirely different. But if Josh is living for me, I want her to live for me. But if I'm living for him who died for me, then all of a sudden I see her and I interact in a totally different way. Therefore, verse 17, because of all of that, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's you and me. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, we urge you, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You guys, this is incredibly personal, and it is also incredibly missional. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. See, we learned this when we were kids, many of us, and it's become old, but I want to tell you it's new. It's new. It's new. The old has passed away. The new has come. Turn to somebody and say, the new has come. Look them in the eyes. Say, the new has come. Behold, the new has come. When the Bible talks about us being new creations, it's talking about the new creative work that Jesus is doing in us. And there are three things I want to talk about that happen in this. And I'll tell you them right now. They're actually not on a screen. So if you're taking notes, you should write this down. I see you all with your pens. No, I don't. That's another story. Three things that happen. We're given a new heart. Okay? Second thing, we're given a new mind. And the third thing is we're given a new identity. It's all new. And so, you know, like, we think about new as like, I buy a new pair of shoes, and then like 3 weeks later, they're not new. We think about, I buy a new car, and that car is like, it's new. Yeah, I love this new car. And then like 6 months, a year later, we're like, that's kind of old. That's not how it works with the new. In him, the new continues to be new. The new continues to be new. It's like it doesn't wear out. It's not like new and then it kind of gets old and whatever. No, it's like a renewing of new. Sometimes we're in the church so long that the new becomes old and we think something's wrong and all of a sudden we realize, oh, we forgot that this is a continual new that I get to live in. Like this continual new creation. I'm alive. I know I've been in this for a while, so I'm really excited. And I know you, it's new to you today. It's all new. So you get a new heart. When we're talking about being given a new heart, we're talking about inside out transformation. Okay? We're not talking about outside in conformity. Okay? Like, I just want to say it again, that when we talk about being given a new heart, we're talking about inside out transformation. Listen to what Ezekiel 36 says in verse 26. It says this, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit." When's the last time, if you're a believer and you've been born again, that you thought, I today have a new heart and I have a new spirit? I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You guys, this is what happens when we are in Christ. This new heart allows me to love God. It takes God to love God. It takes God to love God. This new heart allows me to love him, to love Jesus. That hard heart of stone gets replaced with a heart of flesh that's empowered by the Spirit of God that causes my heart to want to love him. And it's primarily through a love that's vertical like this that then I'm transformed horizontally. So the cry of this new heart becomes, I want to love you more. I want to love you more. I want my my affections. I don't want any infections. Let's be clear about this. We've been through that this week with all the sickness. The Lord just wants to deal with an infection in the room right now. As my affections increase, right? Like my affections for him increase, my life changes. It isn't I have to, it's I want to, it's I get to, it's I want to please him. Living in the new actually happens through a new heart. I was talking with someone recently, I don't know if they know the Lord or not. I have a sense that they don't. And I said, so we were just talking this, and she said, well, I get up in the morning and I try to do what's right. And I was like, I love that, but that's not being born again. That's actually not the gospel. Like, this isn't about us just trying to do what's right. This is about an inward work of a new heart that changes everything. This is about a changing of desire and want to. Living in the new, the second thing that happens is we get a brand new way of thinking, which is called the renewed mind. We've spent time on this over the years. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what this is talking about is we're going from old thinking to new thinking. See, when my mind is renewed, my life is transformed. Like, I think ultimately we don't have a sin problem, we have a thinking problem. Right? Like, see, what I'm believing and what I'm beholding is then what I'm becoming. What I'm believing, what I'm beholding is what I'm becoming. If you haven't heard that line before, write it down. What I'm believing and what I'm becoming. That's wrong. What I'm believing and what I'm beholding is what I'm becoming. I needed more coffee today. You're like, please no. You're happy enough. If I'm not believing that I'm actually in Christ and that I'm actually new, I'm not beholding the reality that the new has come. Okay? And I think it's somewhere, you know, if I'm thinking that it's like somewhere off later when I go to heaven that I'm going to live in the new, I'm not going to be living in the new here and now. What does it say to do? Behold, the new has come. Behold, the new. It didn't say, behold, the new is coming. It says, behold, the new has come. What I'm believing, what I'm beholding is what I'm becoming. Jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Talking about walking in new life. It says this, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. He's talking about past, right? Past. And is corrupt through deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new self created after the likeness of God. I mean, think about this. This, like, in true righteousness and holiness. You think about this. The new self is created after the likeness of God. When you are born again, you are actually created in the very likeness of God. That is the new you. That is the new you. This is why this is so important. And we see this through decades of ministry that people actually don't believe that they're new. We actually don't, many of us don't actually believe that we're new. We kind of are like in this in-between place, like some days I'm new, some days I'm old. Some days I'm like on it, some days I'm not. No. The call is to new. The call is to new. So there's three parts. The first one, put off the old self. The second one is be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the third part of walking in this new is put on the new self, which is created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. So when what I believe in my head and my heart aligns with what he says, there is transformation. This is the key, you guys. If there's areas of your life that are not being transformed, this is the key. When I believe in my head and my heart and that aligns with what he says, there is transformation. The renewed mind is not just positive thinking. Oh, let's just be positive. No, it's perceiving reality from God's perspective. It's thinking like Jesus thinks. And if what we're believing and what we're beholding, meaning what I'm looking at, is creating or it's allowing darkness in me, it can't be truth. It can't be truth. It can't be truth. If what I'm believing and what I'm thinking isn't producing life, it can't be true because Jesus came to give life and life abundantly. Hear me on this. Truth is what sets us free. Transformation is what happens when my mind is renewed in the truth. I feel like this is so good. And my life is the evidence of what I'm believing. Like, I can say I believe this, I can say I believe that, I can actually have really good theology, right? Well, how do you believe? How do you believe? Well, I believe this, I believe this. We can have good theology, but what I truly believe is demonstrated in the life that I live. You can't live in a new creation life with old creation mindsets. See, I know it's easy. You could hear all this, be like, yeah, I know all about that new life stuff. But I'm telling you, if we get this, we turn a page and we begin to grow into the likeness and we become shining ones like you've never imagined before. So what I'm thinking about who I am is so important. Heard somebody talk about this. They said, we don't become what God thinks unless we're thinking about what God is thinking. How do we think about what God is thinking? We have a whole book. And then we have his voice too. How do I think about what God is thinking? Get this book. Get in it. What is God thinking? I want to fill my mind with what he's thinking because I want to be thinking about what he's thinking. Because if I'm not thinking about what he's thinking, then I'm not going to be thinking right. Like, you think about all the problems that we have. Like, you got self-hatred? I'm not thinking right because that's not how God thinks about me. He doesn't hate me. Like I'm not seeing the person, you know, in my life right. Well, what does God think about him? Let me get my brain around that. When I get my brain around what God's thinking about them, then I'll have a better thinking, and then that'll manifest in my life. Like, then I won't know him according to the flesh. I'll know him according to how God sees them. You have a problem with your child right now? Get before the Lord. Say, God, what do you think about my kid? You have a person at work? God, what do you think about them? Because you died for them all. I mean, that'll change your whole perspective. You walk into your office tomorrow morning and you're like, Jesus died for all. So I want to be thinking about what you're thinking about them. I don't want to have the new life a little bit and then live the life of the old creation, the flesh, about these people. I want to be thinking what you're thinking about them, because then I'll have good thinking instead of stinking thinking. That just came. That was like a revelation. Right? I'm back to my notes. Ephesians chapter 2. This is so good. Verses 1 through 9. Paul is writing this letter about living in the new to the believers in the church of Ephesus. So good. He says this. He says, and you were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God. That's one of my favorite lines in the Bible. But God. I mean, you take God in any scenario you're in, you feel like you're up against a wall, and I'll tell you what, you take those words right there, but God. I mean, you think about yourself and you're struggling. I want to tell you, in that moment of struggle, you look in the mirror and you say, but God. But God. But God. Being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The word of God just speaks for itself. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. Can I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't it interesting how in all the passages we've read, it's like God talking about what he's done in us, and then it's a call to something? It's like, this is what I've done in you. You're a new creation. Now you're an ambassador. Now you're a reconciler here. This is what happened to you, but this is what I did. And because of it, now you're created for good works. See, God isn't looking for workers. God's looking for lovers. And when you're a lover, you'll be the greatest worker there ever was. Because it'll be an inward work that manifests on the outside of our life because of what he's done. I can't help but not release good works from him. How many are thankful that we've been saved by grace through faith alone? This is our testimony. We were dead, but he made us alive, and he raised us up with Jesus, and he seated us with him in the heavenly places. And now in Jesus, we have access to the realities of heaven. And that means that we carry solutions to impossible problems. That means that thing that you're facing right now, Jesus has the solution for it. And if we'll seek him for it, he will give us wisdom on it. That means we get to bring the realities of heaven to earth. And it isn't by our own doing, it's the gift of God. It's the gift of the Father and his goodness. It's not a result of striving or working or performing or earning. It's the Father's grace and goodness. It's his kindness towards us. We just read it. He's the kindest. He's the kindest. He's actually looking at you right now with kindness in his eyes. Some of you came in here and you thought God was mad at you. Some of you came in here and you've been looking for God and you feel like he doesn't want to talk to you. I want to tell you, he's the kindest one there ever was. And it's his kindness that will lead you to repentance. You can't earn his love. You can't earn his affection. He is love, and because of it, you're loved. And what we see here is that Paul is emphasizing here in Ephesians 2, the distinction, get this, of what life was before Jesus and now what the new life looks like in Jesus. See, sometimes we have to be reminded of who we aren't so we can see more clearly who we are. It isn't just a certificate that says you got saved. It isn't just a moment in time. New life is a lifetime of continual new. And what Paul is saying here is, here's what your old life was before Jesus. Here's what it looked like. You once were dead in trespasses and sins. You once walked in them. You once followed the course of the world. You lived like the world. You once let the world tell you how to live. You once did whatever you felt like doing whenever you felt like doing it. You once lived in the passions of your flesh, carrying out the desires of your body and your mind. You once were. You once walked. You once followed. He's saying you once lived. Get it? It's all past tense. It's all past tense. That's what you did when you didn't know who you were. You're like, we know this, Pastor Josh. No. We don't know this. We don't know this. I don't know this some days, and I'm waking up to it again. That's not who you are anymore in Jesus Christ. Because when we start believing that who we were is who we are, we won't live in our truest identity as new creation people. And if I make excuses to live in the identity of who I was, I will not live in the privilege of who I am in Jesus now, because what I believe is what I'm becoming. What you believe is what you're going to serve. What we think about who we are matters. You become what you think God thinks of you. I said it before, but here it is in my notes. I want to read it. If you believe what you think God thinks of you, and what you think of you isn't what God thinks of you, you aren't being transformed. You're being conformed to your thoughts instead of his. Think about that. We don't become what God thinks about us unless we think about what he thinks. This is really big. This is worth admission today. We don't have admission. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like offended. I offended you. Sorry. No, really, think about this. We don't become what God thinks about us unless we're thinking about what God thinks about us. If you continue to think you are who you were, when he says that you're a new creation, you're going to continue to live like your old self instead of your new self. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. If who I'm becoming is something other than more and more in the likeness of Jesus, then I have to ask myself, what am I believing today? What am I believing today? If we're living in places of compromise in our lives, places of darkness, maybe you're here today and you say, I just keep messing up. I'm living below my privilege. I want to tell you, I've been there. We've all been there, haven't we? But here's what I want to say to you today. Because of the word of God, don't stay stuck there. Don't stay trapped there. Don't stay in those cycles of shame and condemnation. Believe in the lies of, I'm never going to change. I'm just going to have to struggle my whole entire life until, you know, I get caught up and I play my harp in the clouds, which is not what the Bible says is going to happen, by the way. I want to encourage you today. Lift up your head, lift up your eyes and ask yourself, what am I believing? What am I believing? And fix your eyes on the one who is and who he says that you are. I want to tell you this today. We've all come from lots of different backgrounds and places, but if you were taught that you are still supposed to sin as a Christian, you were taught out of the faith to believe for the grace to change. That's not truth. Truth sets you free. Some of you are concerned about what I just said. Because you're like, what does that mean? I never sin again? I believe it means that we don't live in a lifestyle of sin. Here's what the Bible says, 1 John 2:1. It says this, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Get this, it says, if we sin. It says, if we sin. It doesn't say, not when you sin. It doesn't say, when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. It says, if you sin. What do we do if we sin to our advocate? We confess it. We don't hold it in secret. There are so many things that are holding amazing children of God back because they're in secret. Because they're being held in secret and shame is holding people. And it's not the new creation life. I want to tell you today, God is here to set you free. God wants his people free so that we can get out of our navel gazing and we can get our eyes on his big picture plan of what he's doing on the earth and join him in what he's doing and seeing the new creation come. But some of us are so held down and bound by the things that we're trapped in. And Jesus says, I want you free. But you got to change your thinking and you got to shift what you're beholding so you can become what I say that you are. It's good news. He's not talking about a lifestyle of sin. That's the old world. That's the old you. It's talking about moments where you bump into the old you and you confess it and you turn to him and you continue walking on in the new way. And we fix our eyes on Jesus and we look to him. Yes, there is a place of self-evaluation in my life about what's coming out of my life. But here's what I want to tell you guys today. I'm not transformed by looking at me. Like I'm transformed by looking at Jesus. This is really big. And as I behold him, I become like him. Like the number one killer of joy in the Christian life, I got this word from Pastor Gary, navel. The number one joy stealer, robber of the Christian life is navel gazing. Staring at yourself too hard. I can't do it right now, but you know, the idea of like looking inward. Looking at yourself too hard. Gazing at you instead of gazing at the one who can handle it for you. Why would you look at you? You were the problem. Again, I'm not saying there isn't a moment for self-evaluation. We have to own our stuff. Don't hear me in that. We have to own our stuff. But why wouldn't we look at the one who overcame it all and who is faithful to complete the work he began in us? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. This is included in that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Grace will empower what we are willing to become. If there's something in my life that doesn't look like Jesus, it doesn't need to be in me. This isn't about condemning. This isn't about shaming anybody. Sin is what does that to us. This is about the invitation to the new creation life. This is about living in freedom. This is about living in joy. I mean, how many of you come into a worship service and you can't even hardly worship because you're like bogged down by some junk in you that you're like, no, shouldn't be there, and you can't even rejoice in the Lord? Am I being too mean today? I'm telling you, I'm saying this because this is a good news. He wants his church free. He wants his church full of joy and peace. And that doesn't come by doing our own thing. That comes by getting a vision of the new creation life and letting him do his work in us, joining him in that, and letting grace enable what we are willing to do to become who he said that we're to become. You know, one of the greatest ways that we walk in the new is to get out the word of God alone in prayer and be with the Lord. And when we do that, we believe what we're taking in. We're believing the words that are coming in, and we believe that we were never meant to live in the old. And in prayer, what we do is we're putting off everything that's connected to that old way of life. And what I do is I get this word out and I say, oh, that's who I am. Like, you could take any of these passages we were in today, go home and say, is there anything in my life or in me that is contradictory to this? Because I don't want that in me. I mean, sometimes we think we have to have this big moment. Sometimes you don't need another touch from God. Sometimes you just need to get the word of God open and get it in you. It transforms. It transforms. It transforms. And when I read that word and I read what he's done and I read what I was versus what he says that I am, I begin to thank him that he washed me. I begin to thank him that you've cleansed me. I begin to thank him that you freed me. And I'm no longer a slave to sin and that old stuff. I thank him that sin doesn't reign in my body. I thank him that I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to God. I thank him for his word. I thank him for his truth that literally sets me free. I'm telling you, sometimes we overcomplicate this, and this is the work of the enemy to get us all bound up and so complicated and bound that we think I can't ever change. I want to tell you, the truth sets us free. The word of God sets us free. He has reconciled us, and he has given us now the ministry of reconciliation. Church, there's a world outside of these doors that needs us to walk in the new creation so we can call them into the new creation. Come on, stand with me this morning. Freely you have received, freely give. I want to just invite our ministry team to come forward, if you can, just as quick as you can, because I want to open up the front of the room. I'm going to close. We're going to worship just for another minute or two. But I want to give an invite. We can't talk about the new creation life and being born again and not give an invite to anyone who's here that has not been born again. I mean, I believe Jesus is real. He's here. He wants to change your life. He wants to give you the life that your heart desires for. And so in just a few minutes, if you're here today and you say, I am not born again, I do not know Jesus, today's your day. Can I hear an amen from the people of God? Today's your day. I'm telling you, today is the day. If you're here today, I want to ask one question just for all of us that are part of the church, those of you who've been born again, I want to ask you this one question. What am I living in that's old when God has offered me new? Is there anything? How many would just be honest right now and say, there are some things that are old that I'm living in that I don't want to live in anymore because I want to live in the new? Is there anybody in the room that would be honest like that? Yeah. Just lift your hand up. My hand's going up too. I was convicted of something as I was preaching. I'm like, that's not the new nature. That's not the new. I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, come on, let's pray. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the renewing of the mind today. I thank you for the renewing of the mind. I thank you that things are breaking off right now with the hand, as the hands are raised. We're confessing there are places in us that don't line up with the new creation life that you have given us, and we want to live in that new creation life. I pray in Jesus' name right now for a breaking off of addictions, for a breaking off right now of things that have been plaguing people with shame. I just see people right now that you've been in secret addiction, and God in His mercy and His love and His kindness today says, today is the day. Be free. Be free. Come alive. Come into your identity. Come into who I made you to be. And I declare that in Jesus' name over you. In this place. And my prayer for all of us today is, God, what you have done in us, would you do through us as we join you in seeing the reconciliation of all things? I pray that there would be a boldness in us of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray as we walk out of this place today that we would be bold to declare your goodness, and we would say, we want everyone to know. We want everyone reconciled. We want to share your heart with everyone. I pray that we would walk with your heart. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give him a shout of praise? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Tyler's going to lead us. If you're here and you would like to know more about Jesus, maybe you're here today and you've been away from him, and today you say, I want to come back to him. I want to invite you to come as we sing. If you're here and you need prayer for anything today, we want to pray for you. God bless you as you go. We love you.